Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 again. And I'm going to read a verse to you to start with. Because I know I've preached some of this before. I don't keep notes much. I throw them in piles here and there, and my wife or the note fairy comes along and cleans them up later, but I don't know where they're at. Well, now I got to find the verse I was going to read. I wonder, I was looking in the wrong chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to begin here in a moment in verse 8, but I wanted to read something to you, if I can find where I'm at. He says, verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." So as long as I'm alive and as long as I'm preaching the word, I'm going to go back through some stuff. The Lord may lay something different on my heart to say, but nonetheless, that's where we're at with that. I just wanted to say that before we get started. Verse 8 says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Those things that we've talked about this morning, faith, and then virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. It says, "For if these things be in you, and abound." That's a very important thing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this opportunity to bring your word. Lord, lay on my heart what you would have me to say. And we thank you for it. Open our hearts and minds to your word, and that we can be doers and not hearers only. In Christ's name, amen. Now, as you read that, "For these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Christ! Think about that. Christ. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing Him. That's what it's all about, really. That's the whole nine yards in just in a little nutshell. It's about Jesus. That's what wisdom, inspiration, brilliance. I wrote these words down. Accomplishment of our loving Lord. And it's the accomplishments of a genuine Christian life. That's what it's about. It's about Jesus. It's not about anything else. It's about Jesus. You know, when I was a horseshoer for years, I would have said farrier. Some people know what a farrier is, some don't. But I did horseshoeing, and I done therapeutic shoeing and all kind of special junk. And I was around a lot of different people. I'd go to some of these places that these guys were cowboys. Cowboys, they do what they do because it pays so awesome amount of money that it's unreal. Not really. Most of those guys are lucky if they're getting $1,000 a month. And they have a place to stay usually, and they get 3 meals a day. But they don't do it for the money. They don't do it because it's very easy work and because they're lazy. They do it because they're cowboys. They live it. They eat, drink, sleep. They're cowboys. Doesn't matter where you see them at, they are the same guy that you see on the ranch. They dress the same way whether they're at church or whether they're out at the ranch. The only difference in their clothing that they go to work in is it's wore out. It's not new. The clothing they wear to church, eventually that becomes their work clothing.
And then they buy brand new jeans and they get brand new vests and they wear all of the scarves. And if you go up north of here, Elko, Nevada, and up in there, they have what they call buckaroos. And those guys wear these big flat hats and they wear the Angora chaps and they got their pants tucked in their boots and they got heels about that high and most of them got big handlebar mustaches and they throw a rietta, not a rope. They actually take it and it's braided leather and it's about 60 foot long. And I never understood that, maybe just because they like to drag them further from them that when they're dragging calves. They live it. And that's what the Christian life is about. It's about living like a Christian. It's not really and truly the Christian life is not dull. I've heard people say, well, that's kind of a dull life. No, you need to get involved. It ain't dull. I've seen some things, heard some things. There ain't nothing dull about it. The Christian life is not a dull life. It's not some dull bunch of set rules. Really and truly, it is living and loving our Lord. That's what it's about. Now, for more than 30, 33 years, Christ walked this earth and he was the, the exemplary, he was the perfect model for the Christian life. That's what we're supposed to look at. We're supposed to see that life. We're supposed to read about that life. And we should be able to say, well, I need to start living that life. That's the life I need to be living. He set the example, and we're to follow that life because he's the only one that done it perfectly. That's the kind of life we ought to follow. All of the things that Peter tells us here to add to our faith, because it all starts out with getting saved. But all of the things that Peter tells us to add to our lives that we're living is things that Jesus was doing. And he done them in their fullness. You know, we may do a little of it. We may do some of it. But Jesus done these things to the fullest that could possibly go. And we ought to do that. Peter, no doubt, studied the Lord's life. He hung out with Jesus for, I don't know how, well, I really don't know if he knew him before. Apparently not, because Andrew introduced him. He could have seen him at some point. Jesus and his earthly father, Joseph, could have done some woodwork for Peter. Possibility, I don't know. But for a good three and a half years, Peter studied his life. And he realized, Peter finally come to realization that, hey, I'm missing some things. I'm missing what I watched Jesus do. Because Peter was a Jew. He was prejudiced. That's what Jews, most of them are, when it comes outside of their race. They've got that prejudice to them. They couldn't step foot in a Gentile's house. They would go way out and around instead of going through Samaria. They didn't want nothing to do with that. Peter realized that these things were important for him. He himself lived that life. And we can see the big change in Peter's life over in when we looked at the last chapter of John, he's like, I'm going to paraphrase, I don't know where this Jesus is, I'm going fishing. And a bunch of guys went with him. But from that point, everything changed with Peter. And you'll see Peter leading the entire group in the first few chapters of Acts. He was a very important person in the church there at Jerusalem.
So Peter said, look, this is important. And if we do these things, it says here in the Bible that we won't be barren nor unfruitful in our Christian life. We won't have to worry about that. But then he says here, now I titled this little verse here, verse 9, a delusional life. Or a life of delusion. You ever, what's that song Joe Walsh sings? Living a life of illusion. In other words, are we living a delusional life? Have we forgotten things? And we need to make sure of that. Verse 9, he said, but he that lacketh these things. So think about the things we're talking about. He that lacketh these things. Are you lacking the faith that we ought to have? Oh, well, no, I'm saved, Brother Jim. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you got saved, but are you walking by sight or walking by faith? Are you lacking any in the faith? Are you lacking any in moral goodness, virtue? Think about that. Are you lacking in knowledge? Who in here's mastered this? It can't be done. You can't master the Word of God. There's always something new that the Holy Spirit can open your eyes to. We were talking about that in our class at 5, how that we can read something and we may have read it for years and years, but then all of a sudden something comes through and you're like, well, where did that come from? Because the Lord opened your eyes to it. You weren't ready for it before that, but now you are. Or it may be pertaining to something that you need help with right now. And the Holy Ghost opens your eyes to that and you're like, ah, yes, that's very helpful. Are you lacking there? Are you lacking in temperance, self-control? You're lacking in patience. That's what we need to look at, because he says, but he that lacketh these things. In other words, he that is not where he ought to be in all of these things. Are you lacking in brotherly kindness? How kind are you to each other? How kind are you to everyone in the church that you go to church with, that we consider brothers and sisters in Christ? How kind are we to each one? Are we lacking there? How kind are we to man, all of mankind out there? My dad was amazed when he'd come to visit. We went over to, Hometown Eats. We went over there, and man, I walked in the door, and Ben, oh, there goes the neighborhood. He turns around and starts walking off, and then Ramona, she works, not Ramona, but Ramona, she works there. And then that other gal, I forget her name. Anyway, hey guys, how you doing? They all realize who, they all know who we are. They know who a lot of people in Wagon Wheel are, because we go there quite frequently. We're kind to them. And really, that's what we're supposed to be doing. I go down to Denny's, and I took my dad with me, and we went down there, him and my mom and Sandy, and we walked in the door, and there was Juan Carlos. He said, oh, hello, amigo. And we're jabbering back and forth. And then I think Gabby was there. Gabby walks up and just sits down. What did you come for? I said, well, what do you normally come to Denny's for? He said, well, I was about to leave, but you know what? He said, I'm going to hang out for you. He does. He's actually stayed an extra hour and a half, because 4, 5, 6 of us show up. Oh, I was fixing to go home, but I'm going to hang out for you guys. And then he'll end up getting another customer or two. But it's because we're kind to him. I didn't hit him right off because he forgot my coffee. You want me to get you some decaf now or later? I said, let's do it later.
He comes back over there, and I said, you want to get my decaf? He said, yeah, man, I'll get it. Well, then he started talking, and then, hey, I got to go, see you guys later. I'm like, now, I could have hit him up and said, look, jerk, you didn't get my coffee. But, no, we're kind. That's what we're supposed to be. But are you lacking in brotherly kindness? Are we lacking in the last part? Love. That's a tough one. Because we're to love all mankind, just like Jesus. There's some in Washington, D.C. here lately. I'm having a hard time there. I'm going to be honest with you. when I see them, I'm not seeing them. I'm seeing the evilness. But really, I'm supposed to look past that. I'm supposed to look at them and say, hey, they may be a lost soul. They need to know about the Lord Jesus. I need to be praying for them. They get saved. Well, can't you imagine Nancy Pelosi got saved? What a change would be. Chuck Schumer's head would blow up. it'd be unreal. But listen, I better go on. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. In other words, they're short-sighted. What Peter's saying is they're short-sighted. They can't see way out there. They can see right here, but they can't see way out there. You see, and it's a failure to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. And that's a serious matter. That's what we're supposed to do according to, where did I write it at? I think it's 3:18, 2 Peter. We're going to find out. It could be 2:18. No, it's 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So when we go back to 2 Peter 1 and 5 through 7, listen, that's what we're to be doing. We're to be growing in grace. We're to be adding to our faith the virtue and the knowledge and the patience and down through the line. We're to add that to it. But he says, he that lacketh these things. You see, the believer who claims to be a believer fails to exhibit the characteristics of the Christian life. The things that Peter says must be added to it, that's a short-sighted person. If we're failing to put these things in order the way that they're laid out, then we're short-sighted. We're not seeing the well, you're only seeing this book. You're not seeing all the things around it. You're not seeing the things past it. There's a lot of things past this book that if all you do is focus on that, you're short-sighted. You're seeing this, but you're not getting the rest of it. You're not getting the whole picture. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to have all these things so that we can have the entire picture of what's going on in our lives and around other people. You see, when the believer is barren and unfruitful in his knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ or her knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're blind, they're short-sighted, they're failing to see how great and demanding is both the Savior and his salvation. Listen, when we got saved, it wasn't going to heaven. It's all I got to do, because if that had been true, you'd have got saved, fell over dead. But the Lord left us here for a purpose. We were left here to carry out his work. But see, evidently, there's believers in this world that has forgotten what the Lord done for them. See, look at verse 9. He said, blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, he said, really and truly, he's describing the babe in Christ. It's never growing. The babe in Christ is never getting any further. They're not adding these things to their lives. They're not growing the way they ought to be growing.
And as we mentioned this morning, something's wrong. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. See, if we do these things, we're not going to fall. We're not going to have a problem. The children of Israel. Really, it's a good picture. The children of Israel, they had groaned and called out to God in their bondage with Israel, and God sent them Moses. He come down there. He was he had power. He done miracles. He led them out. Israel was basically, they were put under the blood of Christ. That's what the last plague was, that it killed all the firstborn unless you had the lamb's blood on the doorpost. And that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they went through the Red Sea, which was really a picture of baptism. And then the Lord fed them, gave them water from the rock. He took care of them. But the problem is, they never grew up. You see, that group of people never grew up. They cried, they were in bondage, they had all these problems. The Lord sent Moses. Moses led them out of their bondage, got rid of their enemies, the Egyptians, and they got out there and they wandered around in the desert, but they never grew up. They never totally got it. They never had that rest that they could have had. See, that going into the land of Canaan for them was rest, because for all these years they had been in under bondage in Egypt, and they were worked and worked and beat on. They were slaves, and they were used horribly in a horrible way. And they even fantasized the romantic of Israel. Oh, I wish we were back in Israel. You brought us out here to die. Well, they didn't take them long to forget how rotten Egypt. Didn't take them long to forget how rotten Egypt was. Boy, they started, well, we're a lot better off in Egypt. We're just going to come out here in the desert and rot and die. Starve to death. Go without water. Boy, it didn't take them long to forget. And they rebelled against their leadership. They rebelled so much that finally, They torqued God off. You don't want to torque God off, okay? You torque God off, that ain't good. That don't go over good. It's not going to be a harmonious ending. you really don't want to make him mad, but that's what they did. He made him mad, and he said, you know what? Because of your stubbornness, your stiff neck, you're not listening, you're not having faith, you guys are going to wander around out here in the desert for 40 years, and every one of you is going to die that's 20 years old and older, except for Joshua and Caleb. I'm going to keep them too, because they had the faith. They wanted to go to what God had for them. Israel didn't want to do that. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. This is a very important chapter and part of another chapter. Hebrews chapter 7. Chapter 3, excuse me. Verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginnings of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if we will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to him that believed not? So we see that they could not enter into rest, because of unbelief. In other words, let me shorten it up for you and paraphrase it. And we kind of went over this. God brought them out. God said, now have faith, do what I ask you to do, and I'm going to put you in a land of rest. Oh, we ain't going to do that. That's basically what they were saying. We can't go in there and take it. Man, there's giants in that land. Joshua and Caleb wasn't no more special than anybody else. Yeah, we can do it. Let's go. We got God with us. We ain't gonna go. God got mad and said, okay, you want to be that way? You're not gonna enter into your rest. You're gonna just wander around out here for 40 years, and everybody 20 years up and older is gonna die. And do you realize even the whole time their shoes never wore out and their clothes never wore out? That was amazing. You know, you got to figure somewhere along the line they were thinking, maybe we should have crossed the Jordan. You know, it'd been a whole lot better than this. I've seen this rock now, I don't know how many times in the last 6 months. We keep walking by it, same rock. I marked it last time. You know, you got to wonder what was going through all their minds. They wanted that rest now, but it was too late. You see, that's what Peter tells us. Listen, Peter's telling us, listen, we need to add to our faith, virtue, knowledge, patience, godly, all these things so that we can have the rest that the Lord offers us. We need to add this to it because our rest is right here. It's not in heaven. Good grief, I'm going to rest when I get in heaven. That ain't a problem. We can have rest now if we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. But sometimes we don't. Verse 1 of chapter 4, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Listen, I don't want to miss out on what God has for me in my life. So, I mean, who wants to miss out on something God may have for you? I don't. But if we shorten ourselves, we'll take a shortcut around the virtue part. I'm going to go on around it and go to the knowledge. That won't work. There wasn't any way around the Jordan. They had to cross that Jordan. We're not going across. Listen, Peter tells us we need to follow these things. Now, verse 10. Oh, I got to get back to Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, one more time. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. Fall. You see, what he's saying, where there's life, there's growth. That's not hard. You can go down to the mortuary, and they just lay in there dead. They ain't no life in them.
You ever see a mannequin move? No, there ain't no life in them. I've been in some of these museums where they got the wax museum, and man, them things look real. And then you have some ding-a-ling, it didn't have nothing better to do, and he's standing there, and just as soon as you take your eye off him, he goes, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. But the wax guy that they made, it has no life. You see, where there's life, there's growth. And that's what Peter's saying is, if we have the life of the Lord Jesus within us, we've got the faith, then we need to start adding this other. You see, God calls all mankind. He called all of mankind. Jesus died for all of mankind, not a select few. He died for all of mankind. Some accept and some don't. It's sad, but it's true. There's some will accept what the Lord done for them. Some will accept the gift of God. But there's some that don't, and there's some that won't. But God predestined. He foreordained. He's sovereign. He knows all of this stuff, right? Here's the key to your predestined and foreordained. Oh, it got quiet. You see, he predestined, he foreordained that all who accept him will change. There will be some growth. There will be a life that comes alive. There will be that river that will flow from us of life, because we're now alive. So that's why Peter said, hey, make sure, you know, I don't know who all he was pointing to and talking to at the time, but he was like me. He can't see your heart. But if there's not any type of growth that is mentioned in verse 5, 6, and 7, he's saying, look, you need to back up. You need to see what's wrong. See what's missing. He said, make your election sure, because basically where there's life, there's going to be growth. And God said, point blank, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you become a new creature. All these old things are passed away. All things become new. He said in chapter 10 of Ephesians, you know, verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, he said, listen, once you get saved, you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you will start changing. Now, let's look at 11 through 14 and we're going to quit. Of 2 Peter chapter 1. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, listen, the Bible talks about rewards. They're going to be there. It's going to be waiting. The Bible says that Jesus has rewards for us. He has crowns for us. The crown of life, and there's the crown of rejoicing. There's all these crowns that the Lord talks about. And he's going to give them to us. You see, there's these rewards. But then he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Listen, you may already know all this. I've preached it to you before, but I'm going to continue to preach it to you because it needs to be in your remembrance. We've got to keep it going over and over and over, because look what he says. 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. As long as I'm living in this body. Because this body ain't Jim, by the way. It's just the house I live in. Jim's inside of here somewhere. That's really hard for me to understand all that, but it's there.
Jim's just living in this old house, and this old house ain't the best house in the world. It's had a rough life, okay? I've treated it bad. Hadn't done repairs when I should have. But nonetheless, I'm living in here. Long as I'm living in here, I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to tell you, hey, make sure you're doing these things. Make sure you're working on and working and working and working for these things that we're to add that Peter tells us about in verses 5-7. We need to focus on that stuff. Because this is what he said, knowing, verse 14, that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle. Oh, now Jesus, he says, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. You go over and read John chapter 21, you'll find out that Jesus told Peter, hey, Peter, one of these days, you're going to be led off somewhere you don't want to go, and you're going to die. So Peter's saying, look, as long as I'm in here, I'm going to remind you of this, because knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm not going to live forever. That's a news flash for some of you, I know. I'm not living forever in this old tabernacle. I've got eternity with Christ, but one of these days, and for all I know, I may fall over dead in the next 2 minutes. Praise the Lord. What a way to go, preaching the word. But look, when I die, I'm going to leave this tabernacle. I want you to remember that, and you keep telling people, stirring up their remembrance. Especially our children, because who's going to do it if you don't? I didn't promise you. Those up in D.C. ain't. I didn't promise you the ones that teach you at school, unless you're in a Christian school, they're not. And the more our world continues to grow in the direction it's growing, they ain't going to tell you about Jesus. They'll be lucky if they can get to church. That's what we must be doing. We must be adding to our faith all of these things that Peter tells us about: virtue, patience, knowledge, godliness, brotherly love. And we all need to be working toward that one love, same love for others that God has for us. Amen? All right, let's have an invitation.